Now, does the Dow matter? Many of us watched in horror as the stock market plummeted more than 800 points yesterday. By the end of the day, it gained much of that back, just to drop another 300 points this afternoon, leaving some of us scratching our heads wondering what was all that about. The Dow Jones Industrial Average today is still below 10,000, currently about 9,600. And though experts advise us not to pay too much attention to the Dow, it is hard to ignore when your life savings are tied up in the stock market. So what exactly does the Dow mean? Do you pay attention to the Dow? What does it tell you? And if not, is there some other indicator that you watch instead? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. Seth Jason is guilty of watching the Dow often, I'm sure. He's a senior analyst at The Motley Fool and joins us from a studio there. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
So, Seth, sometimes we hear experts say the Dow doesn't really matter. Why? Mm-hmm. Why doesn't it matter?
Well, I'm going to, since it's election season, in the spirit of election season, I'm going to say that it matters and it doesn't matter all at the same time. It doesn't matter by some people's estimation simply because it's kind of an old-fashioned and strange index. It's price-weighted, which means that if something drops a buck, it has the same effect on the index. Even if that stock is worth $10, which would represent, of course, a 10% drop for that particular stock, or if it's a $100 stock, which would be a much smaller percentage drop for that stock were it in the index. It's also kind of a strange index because they, in order to account for dividends and splits over the years, they've had to come up with a Dow divisor. So it's really kind of hard to keep track on exactly what the Dow means. It's probably best for most investors to look at a market cap weighted index like the S&P 500. Which also has the advantage of being a much broader index, 500 large companies instead of just 30 companies, which are really picked arbitrarily by the folks over at the Wall Street Journal.
But these wild fluctuations that we've been seeing, they tell us something, don't they?
Yeah, well, they tell us a lot more right now. Now, the Dow itself is funky. If we look at all of these indexes together and what's going on in the markets, they're all flipping up and down 3%, 4%, 5% or more intraday these days. And what that is telling us right now is that people are really in panic mode. So we're stepping really away from the academic argument of what the Dow index itself means into what the fluctuation in the equities markets means. And that's really pretty difficult to get our hands on. I believe now we're here at the Motley Fool, we're really pretty optimistic. In the long run, we like to pick individual stocks. But where we are right now, I believe, is in the place where we start to get into the vicious cycle where psychology actually does start to undermine the economy as a whole. And we're seeing evidence of that in many places. And today, most notably, we're seeing it when the Fed came out and said that it would start buying a lot of short-term debt, sometimes called commercial paper, in order to keep credit markets moving in the U.S. and to keep companies like AT&T, who couldn't get people to buy or the usual suspects to buy their one-week IOUs in order to keep funding moving so that they could actually run the business.
Can you explain that to me, by the way, while we're on the subject of the – is it the paper credits? Is that –
They call it commercial paper, but I'm by no means a debt market expert. But what this really means is there are a lot of companies out there who don't always have the cash on hand to pay the bills, to buy the inventory, to pay employees, things like that. And so what they do and what they need to be able to do because of how they've built their businesses over the years is be able to issue debt for short periods of time, a week, a month, 2 months. And some companies have found, and I read a story that AT&T was among them, that people just aren't willing to buy this debt for even short periods, which is why the Fed is stepping in and buying a lot of it, because they realize that if people won't buy that debt and you start seeing layoffs, you start seeing people unable to build inventories or do the things they need to do to run the businesses, then the perception and the fear actually become the reality, and the economy as a whole suffers real damage based on the perceived damage that people are afraid will be coming up.
Why is it called commercial paper? I don't really understand what that is.
Well, there's probably a long and a long history and a better explanation than I can give you, but basically it's paper. You're issuing IOUs to people and you're doing it for commercial purposes, and it's actually distinct from other kinds of debt under SEC rules. And so that's probably a topic that's more complex than we want to get into. But the takeaway for the average listener right now is that what the Fed is doing today by announcing this really pretty large commercial paper buying program is recognizing that the IOUs of American businesses are not being accepted, are not being taken, are not being purchased by the usual entities that used to buy them, which were pension funds and money market funds and others. And so somebody needs to step up and do that. Otherwise, these businesses will really freeze up. So really what we're seeing now is an issue that's separate from the bailout we just had, but one that is probably even more important for the short term.
All right, let's take a call. We're going to go to, I think it's Morris in Columbus, Ohio.
Hi.
Hi, is it Maurice or...
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
I work for a nationwide transportation company. I drive a truck, and on an average week, I see about 50 different customers. And we seem to have a pretty good indicator of when times are good or times are bad by the amount of freight that they're putting on our truck. And what we've seen recently is our tonnage levels are down 20% this year, year-to-date from last year. And regardless of what the does... if people aren't, you know, if they're nervous and not buying, people don't manufacture, it's going to have a negative effect.
That's interesting. What do you think about that, Seth, that as an indicator of where we're going economically?
I think that's a very good indicator, and it's something that the average person who's invested in the market, really whether they like it or not, most people are. If they have a pension plan or any kind of 401k or 403b, they're in the market in some way or another. And there are ways, you know, people like the caller have insight into the economy that others may not, and looking at the amount of freight that's out there is one. I've been reading over the past few weeks about the drop in freight coming into ports like Long Beach, and that this was an indicator, a leading indicator, that that American retailers were expecting to sell less because they're bringing in fewer items to sell. And so you could sort of see this happening. And of course, as I said in the beginning, the position we're in now is we're entering that vicious cycle where perceptions become reality as people fear things will get bad. They do things that make things a little worse, and then it feeds into itself and just keeps going that way. And that's what the policymakers in the country are really afraid of right now. And this is why they're rushing to sort of pour water on every little fire they see.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, Maurice.
Okay. Thank you.
Interesting point. All right. We're going to go to Curtis, and he's calling from Salem, Oregon. Hi, Curtis.
Yes. Hello. I really feel there's a problem we have is we mistake the economy or stock market for the real economy, which is buying research and development, plant and equipment. And basically, it's much more akin to a bookie operation and or fantasy football. It doesn't have a whole lot of real connection to true football. Anyway, that's my feeling.
All right, that just seems like a big fantasy football game to you. I had a young 12-year-old ask me, you know, one day last week, who controls the stock market and why can't they just, you know, make the numbers go up?
You know,
part of me didn't really know how to answer that question, I have to say.
The folks in charge have tried that. They've tried to restrict short selling on hundreds now of companies to at least reduce the selling pressure on them. And I think the point that our caller Curtis makes about the conflation, especially in the media, of the stock market and the economy is a very, very important one. And I have tried to make it many times here at The Motley Fool in my writing, which is that these are two distinct things. An economy can be doing very poorly while the stock market goes up. In fact, stock markets tend to sort of get up and out of the doldrums long before the economies do when you look back at history. But conversely, I mean, the stock market was really roaring along late last year, and I was very skeptical at that time. And a lot of my writing, I was warning people especially to stay away from banks because I could see what was coming up, not with perfect clarity, by the way. I'm not trying to say that I could see onto those balance sheets, but what I was warning people is that things just didn't seem to me as great as everybody said at the time when the market was roaring. And so, you know, the stock market and the economy are often really disconnected from each other, and that's a really important point. When the market is down, it doesn't mean the economy is down, and when the market is up, it doesn't mean our economic footing is great.
Yeah, but what is what's happening now mean in terms of the economy?
Well, that's the problem right now, as I'm saying, with this vicious cycle, because There are some obvious interconnections between how stock prices work and the business of being in business. For instance, if you need to go out and raise capital and your stock price has been absolutely hammered because of market pessimism, then of course you can't really raise capital as easily. And this is something that a lot of banks and other financials out there have found out to their chagrin. And actually, you know, some of them couldn't make a go of it because they absolutely could not raise capital by issuing stock. And we've seen some of them go bankrupt. Some of them have had to have been taken over by the government. So,
you know, you were saying before that, you know, mostly anybody with a pension plan or a 401k does have something in the stock market. And given the drops and certainly the ups and downs we've been seeing, a lot of people are moving away from stocks in their retirement accounts. Does that make sense to you? Do you think that's a good idea?
Well, the decision to get out of stocks or more volatile investments like the equities, the stocks we're talking about now, is unfortunately one that should have been made a while ago for folks who have a shorter time frame. Now, over longer time periods, the stock market has tended in the past to always outperform a lot of other investment assets that you can really easily get a hold of. And so our advice at The Motley Fool, where we're all individual investors, basically, we're just like everybody else out there, has been that, you know, if you need money or suspect you'll need money within the next 5 years, that is money that you should never have in the stock market, because the market does go through periods like this, and you do not want to have to sell the furniture burn the furniture in order to heat the house, as they say. So unfortunately, right now is the worst time to be selling because everything is down. If you need that money, you know, to pay the rent or something, you're sort of stuck. The other issue to look at a period like this is that psychology right now in the markets is absolutely awful, and history has always shown that these down markets, people tend to dump and everybody gets out. And in fact, that's why the markets just keep going down until they start to flatline. And this is something that behavioral psychologists and others have done a lot of work on. And if anybody needs a way to get their mind off what's going on in the market and learn a little bit about this, I'd like to recommend they take a look at a couple of books. One is called Your Money and Your Brain by Jason Zweig, and another one is called Stumbling on Happiness by Daniel Gilbert. And both of those talk about the psychology of being inside the moment and being scared and not being able to see further ahead in the future, because how you feel about the future is indelibly colored by how you're feeling right now.
All right. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And just I have a really good email here, but it's got a bunch of questions. I'm not sure I'm going to have time to answer all of them. This is from Richard in St. Louis. He says, how about some basics? One, what is actually happening when a sudden large drop in the stock market occurs? Do people simply rush out to sell a bunch of stock every time there's bad news? And who actually sets individual stock prices? Who is the auctioneer who determines whether individual stock prices rise or fall? You know the answer to all those questions?
If only it were that easy. There's no auctioneer that determines whether or not prices are fall. The prices, and it differs from market to market, are set by market makers or specialists who are the sort of go-betweens between the buyers and the sellers. But prices go up and down based on what people are willing to offer that second and what they're willing to pay that second. And one of the questions in there seems to me is a little bit, it's a common misconception that every time a stock price moves that there must be a reason that it moved, that there must be a piece of news that actually made it move. I was looking at a company this morning that I follow, that I own, and it was down 12% yesterday, down about another 6% today, and there's absolutely no news at all that really has any effect on this company that has come out in the past couple of weeks, yet it's probably moved 25-30%. Simply all that's happened is that, you know, there's a culture of fear, and prices across the board are moving down as people pull their money out of stocks. And of course, if everybody is pulling their money out of stocks because they want to put it in the sock drawer or somewhere else, the prices are just going to continue to fall.
All right, let's take one more call. Jay from Denver, Colorado. Hi, Jay.
Hi. You know, that young boy that you had mentioned that asked the question about why not just say some good words to improve the stock market, because it seems like the stock market is almost like an entity unto itself. And when the Fed chairman says three words, or, you know, just says boo, it drops. Well, why couldn't they say something else and it goes up? It seems this just goes to what you were talking about just now, about why that stock that you were holding dropped.
It just seems to be uncontrollable, you're saying. Why does it seem to be so uncontrollable, Seth?
Yeah, and if it's a culture of fear, can't that be changed?
Okay, thanks for your question, Jay.
Sure, thank you.
Yeah, I think it can be changed, but it only changes slowly. And the more I've watched the market, especially over the past couple of months, the more I have come to realize that even if you happen to know a piece of news that you think will make the market move one way or the other, you can't even be sure that it will. In other words, if you have to look a little bit at how the market is always trying to parse Fed speak and what Mr. Bernanke might say. Now, if Mr. Bernanke came out as he did today and he says, well, you know, the economy faces even more pressure than I thought. I think we're looking at a longer, deeper downturn. You can look at it two ways. One way you can look at it as an investor is, hey, that means there's a rate cut on the way, which changes all the equations on which we value stocks, and that means stock prices should theoretically go up, and the market could conceivably go up. Today, the markets actually have kept going down. So if you're looking for an answer that's tied to what the Fed chief said, you have to say, well, you know, these companies are going to do even worse because the economy is going to be even worse and things will go down. Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's no way to predict exactly how any kind of pronouncement of optimism or even any news, hard news, will be perceived by the market. And so you really can't manage that, and it's probably not the government's place to even try to manage that. The point isn't to try and make stocks go up. It's to just provide a good market and let them set their own prices.
All right, Seth, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Seth Jason is a senior analyst at The Motley Fool. He joined us from a studio at The Fool headquarters in Alexandria, Virginia. Tomorrow, political junkie Ken Rudin and Neil Conan wrap up tonight's presidential debate. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.